up to 2,500 scrubs. We counted. Introducing Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer, starting at just $23.98 a gallon, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and on Community Conversations today, in the studio, we have Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave.
So we've got to come up with a better title than County Executive. It is not regal enough. I mean, mayor's good, governor's great, yeah. Obviously senator, president,
yes,
congressman, County Executive. I mean, it's...
County Czar.
I like that. We could just say Czar.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Glenn Klein in the studio with Racine Czar, Jonathan Delagrave.
What government title will he want to change next? Glenn Klein, middays on your radio friend, WRJN.
This is news on Wisconsin Radio Network. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has named Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate.
Trump made the announcement this morning on Twitter following days of speculation. Marquette University Law School political scientist Charles Franklin says the pick could help the presumptive nominee address some of the concerns the party's more conservative base have about him.
I think Pence is a good reassurance to the conservative wing of the party.
Franklin says there are some conflicts between Pence and Trump, such as his past support for free trade agreements. Andrew Beckett, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A deadly car versus bicycle crash this morning on Highway 14 in Dane County. The victim, a female, died at a Madison hospital. This week's flooding in far northern Wisconsin has now claimed three lives. An 82-year-old man was found in his pickup in a flooded river in Ashland County Thursday. I'm Pat Curtis reporting, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. As we go through the weekend, it'll be cool at first and then it'll warm up. There'll be a heat wave developing out in the Plain States, but a series of thunderstorms will develop at the rim of the heat and move southeastward, and any one of these could move across our area starting late Sunday or Sunday night. But as we've seen in the past week, when some have developed, many of them do miss, too. For today, a morning shower in spots, otherwise cooler, with periods of clouds and sunshine, high 69. Partly cloudy tonight, low 56, lakeside 51 inland. Tomorrow, sunny day, high 78. Sunday, partly sunny, warm and more humid with a high 85, maybe a strong thunderstorm later in the day or at night. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400 WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Those are a few enough moments. Get on the phone right now. 634-WRJN is the number to call. 634-9756. Welcome in to the Cabranes Law Hour with Attorney John Cabranes and his colleagues Jordan Schrader and Shanaz Lakdawala. How are you people doing?
Doing great. It's Friday afternoon. Ready for the weekend.
Everybody's working for the weekend. A little closer to the mic for a moment, Jordan. Shanaz?
I'm great, too. Just looking forward to the weekend as well.
Any big plans?
I think I'm going to go to the Bastille Fest in Cathedral Square Park.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll take on even more significance now.
Yes, I know.
Holy moly.
Maybe some moments of silence.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Hi, John.
Hello.
That's John Cabranes. He's the attorney at law. Missed you last week.
Well, I was actually working. I was doing justice in one of the Racine courtrooms.
Without giving away any state secrets or anything, what was the case that you were working on?
It's a drug case. The issue is whether or not the police had reasonable suspicion not only to stop the vehicle, but to continue the investigation. And in Wisconsin, the law is that if I get stopped for a traffic offense, they have to expeditiously resolve the traffic offense. And if, while they are handling the traffic offense, if they have reasonable suspicion that you've committed some other crime, then they can sort of stop dealing with the traffic offense and then start dealing with the new issue that has popped up. In this case, I don't think the cops had reasonable suspicion to make the stop in the first place. And in the second place, once they stopped him, they didn't even bother dealing with the original reason for the stop. They just went into the drug investigation.
All right. That brings up a lot of questions. First of all, where did this happen?
Here in Racine.
Okay. Second of all, what was the infraction that they were pulled over for that they should not have been?
They claim tinted windows. I'll tell you, I've been doing criminal defense in Racine County for 20 years. Every time I see a tinted windows violation, it's usually accompanying an arrest for drugs. And usually what happens, Glenn, is that let's say the police have an informant. And the informant is going to tell the police, look, I have a delivery that's being made, and it's going to be made in such and such a location at around such and such a time, and the guy is coming or the woman is coming in a vehicle in this type of vehicle, and so there will be a squad car in that area, and they will be looking for a reason to pull that vehicle over. And then start that investigation, and so the default reasoning seems to be in some cases tinted windows.
What percentage are actually tinted windows that get pulled over for tinted windows?
Honestly, the only tinted windows cases I have ever handled are drug cases, so I couldn't tell you.
Out of the drug cases, they're written up for tinted windows. That's why they're pulled over. Do any of them have actual tinted windows?
Oh, sure, but it's not illegal to have tinted windows in Wisconsin. The way the law is in Wisconsin, there's a certain percentage of light that has to be let through the window. And for example, for the the side windows, the percentage of light that has to be allowed through is 50%. So if you're darker than 50%, then you have illegally tinted windows. If you're less than 50%, then you're okay.
Are the drivers of these tinted windows vehicles, are they darker, generally speaking, the ones that get into these situations?
I honestly cannot think of one driver of any of these vehicles that hasn't either been black or Hispanic.
Alrighty then. That's Attorney John Cabranes. This is the Cabranes Law Hour. Yes.
I just asked
a question.
I just want to clarify that I'm not sitting here throwing mud at the Racine PD saying you're pulling over minorities.
I'm just asking a question.
Because even though I believe it does happen,
okay, happens.
But I'm not. I've
been
not,
in the news lately. Have you noticed?
No, I hadn't. I really hadn't.
That's Attorney John Cabranes. He has noticed. Believe me, this is the Cabranes Law Hour. We're taking your calls at 634. WRJN 634-9756 with any legal question. The attorneys are here. And caller, you are on the air with the attorneys.
Good afternoon, Glenn. This is Alan. And I have a question for the attorneys about child support law. My wife, her ex, ran off in 2009 and has not been paying child support ever since. Our daughter has just graduated from high school, and the state sent us this letter that basically says we're not going to try to collect child support anymore. Is there any way that we can recover some of the back money he owes us?
Sure. Just because he's disappeared doesn't mean he doesn't owe the money. What generally happens is once your daughter ages out of the system, the amount that he owes is still there. Child support doesn't have an interest in that child anymore, so child support's not going to bother themselves by you know, pursuing this guy. But you know, do you know where he lives, for example?
Well, the state tracked him down to the state of North Carolina to begin with, and then he moved, and they tracked him to Tennessee, and they handed it over to Tennessee, but he never paid Tennessee, so...
Yeah, the problem with people like this, I mean, when was the last time he paid a dime in child support?
May 7th, 2009.
Okay. Here is my suggestion to you, okay? Child support is going to be of no help to you because the child has aged out of the system, and they've got plenty of cases that they're working on, and you will be not just a low priority, you're a no priority case for them, okay? But there is a law. It's a criminal statute, actually. It's a failure to support statute, and it's not used all that much, but I have seen it used from time to time. And basically what happens is, and honestly, I forget if it's every 3 months or every 4 months that he doesn't support the child. That is a felony charge. And it's important that it be a felony charge because... Now, with that felony charge, he is now extraditable, okay? If you go to court on a civil matter and you get a contempt motion on him, you may send him to jail for 6 months for failure to pay, but he's not extraditable. So if he's running around in other states and they catch him, let's say in Oklahoma, Tennessee, wherever, unless he's got a commitment from that particular state, he's not going to go to jail, mm-hmm. and they're not going to honor a contempt commitment from the state of Wisconsin. It's different if you talk to the district attorney's office, and I urge you to call the district attorney's office and talk to him about felony non-support, because that way, if they decide to move forward and charge the guy, and it's going to be an easy case to prove because the records are there that he didn't pay. And so if you go to the district attorney's office and you can get them to charge the failure to support charge, and he gets pulled over for something as simple as speeding in some other state, that warrant will pop. And then they'll arrest him, and then they'll extradite him back to Wisconsin, where he'll have to face the felony non-support charges. And I'll tell you that in a couple of them that I've defended, and honestly, I haven't defended any of these in years, but in the ones that I've defended, generally speaking, they put the guy on probation. The guy and the condition of probation is that they pay back the child support that's owed. And the hammer is that if you don't pay the child support that's owed, you go to prison. So call the district attorney's office because I think that that's probably going to be your best bet.
Oh, great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Would a consultation with you help at all?
I mean, if you want to come in and talk to us about it, but I'm, you know, honestly, the only thing we can do on a situation like that is file a contempt action against him. But as I indicated, you know, if he's running around outside of the state of Wisconsin, I can, you know, it's you're spending good money and not necessarily going to get the result that you want. The district attorney, on the other hand, they have much broader powers to bring him back to Wisconsin, and that's what I would do.
Eagle. But now we've got a phone line open for you to talk to Attorney John Cabranes and Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. That number to call is 634-WRJN, 634-9756 with any legal questions for the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office. You're listening to WRJN. It's 120 on a Friday afternoon, so you're listening live. That means you can call at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. All right, so we have the tinted window case. That was the famous case last week.
Right.
A lot of drug cases, I'm sure, that you deal with.
I've dealt with more than my fair share.
Yeah. So now we have a study from Marquette University that 59% of Wisconsinites think that marijuana should be made flat out legal. I would imagine that a lot of your cases are involving marijuana. So obviously, on one level, if it is legalized, your practice could be hurt. But that's just, what is your take on the legalization, given the fact that you've dealt with so many people involved with pot?
Well, as a criminal defense attorney, it shouldn't surprise anybody that I think that marijuana should be legal. Although some people think that, you know, the attorneys are mercenaries and we want to keep it illegal so we can generate business. But I
know some attorneys like that. Oh. I know some doctors that don't want to heal disease because that helps them. I know them. They're honest with me.
Sure. No, I get that. And I know some of the same attorneys probably that you're talking about. But look, here's the reality. I grew up, I was a teenager in the 70s. And I was a teenager in the 70s in California, okay? And if there was ever a drug culture, a marijuana culture, it was in the 70s in California, the Cheech and Chong era. And the reality is that on one level, I don't think there's any real question that marijuana is a gateway drug. And I think in part it's a gateway drug, and this is my personal opinion, I have no studies to back this up. But I think in part it's a gateway drug because, you know, your parents, if they're doing their job, are telling you, don't smoke marijuana, don't smoke marijuana. It's bad for you. It's illegal. You're going to get in trouble. And if you think back, you have these crazy propaganda movies like Reefer Madness.
You guys ever see that movie?
No.
That was like a movie from the 30s.
Yeah, it was. It's an old movie.
Insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane.
Guy takes one hit of marijuana and he becomes Jack the Ripper. and so
a homicidal maniac.
Yeah. And so it's what happens is you're told by society that the effects of this are bad. You're told by your parents not to do it. And of course, because you're a teenager, you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. And then you find out that you don't become Jack the Ripper, and you probably just go to sleep after you've eaten and go to sleep. And so what winds up happening?
You seem to speak from experience, attorney.
I'm taking the fifth. I also have had probably hundreds of marijuana cases. So I've talked to a lot of people who smoke marijuana, but in my opinion, it's that sudden revelation that I'm still the same person after I smoked the marijuana. Let's try cocaine. Let's try methamphetamines. Let's try heroin. Okay, and I think that's why it's a gateway drug because society basically, shoves it at you that marijuana, there's nothing good about marijuana. And then all of a sudden, you try it, and you realize it's not that bad. So where else?
Or it's good. How about that?
Or it's good. And so where else has society been lying to me about?
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
I mean, ladies.
Ladies, anybody want to stick their nose into this one?
Oh, gosh. I don't really have much of an opinion on marijuana. I have encountered people who have smoked it, and I don't think that it really impairs them that much. Like Attorney Kronis was saying, they eat and go to sleep, and then they're themselves.
Well, that's
the next
pretty
day.
Much what we do all the time, don't
yeah.
we? Don't
yeah.
we usually eat and go to sleep,
yeah,
regardless
of
what we've imbibed? It's
night.
A story of my life.
Except these people are eating and going to sleep at 7 o'clock at night.
Well, but there should be nothing illegal about that, in my opinion.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And here's the other thing. I remember a conversation I had with a judge a very long time ago. I want to say it was Bonnie Gordon up in Milwaukee. And she made a point that a lot of the shootings in drug cases that she had seen over the years started with a sale of marijuana that went bad. Now, that was many years ago. I suspect that the drug of choice has changed significantly since then. But when you have a prohibition on something, when you think about the Roaring Twenties and the rise of the gangs and Capone. And the St. Valentine's Day massacre. I mean, that was all over control of the liquor. Advice.
May I play something for you?
You may. The Night Chicago Died?
No, it's not a song, but well, there is some musical accompaniment. But I had Senator Ron Johnson on this program, and we were talking about Prohibition. We were talking about the prohibition of alcohol. He had just gotten back from Central America, and here's how that sounds. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. Just back from Central America on a fact-finding tour about the drug cartels down there. He's Senator Ron Johnson.
Again, Glenn, I'm admitting this is an incredibly complex situation. I completely understand what happened to Prohibition. That obviously didn't work. That gave rise to gangsters when we ended Prohibition.
They went away?
Well, the gangsters moved into illicit drugs and sex trafficking.
Exactly.
But they went to other areas.
Exactly.
You know? So
Prohibition doesn't work. That's exactly right.
What will he talk about next? Glenn Klein, middays on WRJN.
Well, right now we are talking to the attorneys of the Cabranes Law Office on the Cabranes Law Hour. Attorney John Cabranes, Attorney Shanae Lakdawala, and Jordan Schrader. We are taking your calls, too. Any legal question for the attorneys? 634-WRJN. It is 634-9756. It doesn't work. Prohibition doesn't work. And every time something is made legal, bad things happen.
It made illegal, you mean?
Made illegal, yeah.
Illegal.
Did I say legal?
Yeah, you did.
Well, bad things happen sometimes with that, too. But every time something's made illegal, bad things happen.
Well, I think what happens is that you have an underground market that springs up. And what happens is that, you know, you have, there's a lot of money in drugs. Where do generally the drug dealers come from? They don't come from Wind Point, okay? They come from the inner cities generally because these are people, generally speaking.
Those are the lower level people in the pyramid.
But, you know.
The upper level people, they're not getting charged. They're getting away with it.
Oh, that's because, sure. That's because there's layer upon layer upon layer.
It's like any other business.
That's right. And I've had, you know, I've had federal cases where they try to peel that onion and they get maybe two or three levels up, and then it stops. And part of the reason for it, honestly, is when you start climbing that ladder, the higher you get in that ladder, the more scared these people are of saying a word. Because it's all real. They will kill you.
Yeah, it's like Al Capone days.
Yeah.
Except it's 2016. It is July 15, 2016, and this is the Cabranes Law Hour. We're taking your calls this afternoon at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. You are on the air, caller with the attorneys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I built my house like 30 years ago on my wife's grandmother's property. Her and I built the house, and we have a driveway that goes up the old farmhouse road that goes by the house and comes back to our house. We have a strip of land north of the property in case if anything would happen, but we got an easement through a former owner, and since then the property's been sold to somebody else. Is that easement still good, or do I have to get an easement with a new owner? We've been here 30 years now, and another question is driveway grandfathered in.
Well, it should be, because normally when you have an easement, it's recorded. Did you record
okay.
the easement?
Yeah, we went through an attorney and
yeah,
had it all filed, and the guy that owned it signed papers. And
yeah, normally the easement goes with the land. And there's all kinds of other, if it didn't go with the land for whatever reason, you might have what's called an adverse possession claim. And basically what you need there is you need to have basically open and notorious use of the land for a period of 20 years. So, you know, but the easement itself should resolve that issue. And if your lawyer, did his job, he would have recorded that easement. And generally speaking, you know, it goes with the land. If you want to get a copy of the easement, or you want to get a copy of, of the title to the land that shows the easement, that, you know, we can take a look at it. Just remember that the consultations are always free. We'll give you half an hour. We'll sit down. We'll talk to you. We'll review documents. Won't charge you a dime. And then if there's something that is wrong or needs to be done, you know, we'll explain it to you and we'll tell you how much it's going to cost you to deal with it. But, you know, if you have any questions about it, get the documents, come on and see us, and we'll be happy to sit down and talk to you about it.
I have a copy of the easement.
Okay, great. So have you, was it recorded?
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, then I honestly don't think you're going to have a problem then.
Okay, I mean, I'm just wondering.
Caller, you got a pen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Write down the Cabrera's Law Office phone number.
It's 262-638-0529. 262-638-0529. And you know, if it's an area that we don't do a whole lot of work in, and we're not, you know, we're not confident in our opinion, we'll refer you out to somebody who does a lot of work in that area and who can give you an opinion on that.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you for calling.
Now that a line is available to you to give the Cabrera's Law Hour a call, 634-WRJN. That's the number, 634-9756. It is 27 minutes until 2 o'clock. It is Monday afternoon, July 15th. Get on the phone during the news break with the great Tom Carco. We will be taking your calls at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. The great Tom Carco is next with the WRJN News.
Broadway and big screen sci-fi smash musical, Little Shop of Horrors, has arrived at the Racine Theater Guild. Tickets are $15 for students, $18 for seniors.
Martha Stewart Living. Visit homedepot.com/storage for more details. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Have you heard of email rage? That's a knee-jerk reaction to an insult, real or imagined, that can hurt friendships, ruin reputations, even get you fired. So before you send an angry reply, try these tips. First, resist the urge to let somebody have it. Instead, open a new email. Don't put any names in the address slots. Once you've finished venting, delete it or put it in your drafts box and move on. Another way to avoid email rage, vent offline. For example, ask a friend you trust to give you perspective when you're spitting mad. Bottom line, you can't undo the damage once you press that send button. And finally, if you have an issue with somebody, don't create an electronic trail that can be forwarded, printed, and referred to over and over. If you wouldn't say it to their face, do not put it in an email. I'm John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
I think we need to change that spot.
Sure.
Because I need to give the number right away, not even in a few moments. This is the Cabranes Law Hour, and you can talk to Attorney John Cabranes and Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader.
Yes, that's correct.
Are you any relation to Robin Schrader?
No, probably not. There's a lot of Schraders out there.
There really are a lot of Schraders, aren't they? They are also attorneys at the Cabranes Law Office. You can give us a call, and you should, at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. With any legal questions. We've already had a couple callers so far this hour. It is 17 minutes until 2 o'clock. You're listening live. It's July 15th. Hello. So what do you make of Tom Brady deciding not to appeal his suspension to the Supreme Court?
Well, he was never going to get a stay from the Supreme Court. So I think it's just a question of everybody realizing that his appeals have essentially been exhausted. And so, you know, that's sometimes it's a hard reality when there's nothing else that you can do. You know, I mean, we don't have all the facts, but certainly it sounds to me like he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar,
And, or was it that he did not cooperate with the investigation?
Well, you know, that's something that happens a lot when you're doing criminal defense work, is sometimes there's an appearance of guilt because you do stupid things. You destroy evidence God knows what's on that evidence.
You mean like deleting 33,000 emails, that kind of destroying of evidence?
Well, I think so. I mean, but, you know,
that was unbelievable. How did that happen?
It was an accident, I'm sure.
Now, I don't mean just the deletions of the emails. How does the FBI director, working for the Justice Department, make that case against the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and then not recommend criminal charges be filed?
You know what? Honestly, Glenn, if it had been anybody else, if it had been you, if it had been me, we'd be in a federal lockup right now.
If it would be Martha Stewart.
Well, Martha Stewart lied to the FBI.
Okay. General Petraeus. Yeah. I mean, oh my God.
You know, the rationale that somehow it was a somehow an innocent violation of the law, that there was no intent to violate the law, and that's the excuse that they're using to sort of separate Petraeus from Clinton, is that Petraeus intentionally divulged this to his girlfriend, whereas Clinton sort of accidentally divulged this.
Did you see any of the hearings with James Comey, the FBI director?
I did not.
All right. Well, he was asked by Kirk Gowdy, not Trey Gowdy. Kirk Gowdy was a sportscaster.
Yes.
Attorney Cabranes, and I would remember him because we're old.
Yes, we are.
but Trey Gowdy, who's a really effective prosecutor, and he's a congressman, he said that he prosecuted a lot of criminals who did not intend to break the law. They didn't know they were breaking law, but they still were breaking the law.
Well, it depends on the type of statute you're talking about. And there's two types of statutes. There's strict liability statutes, and then there's statutes that require an intent. And I'll give you an example. Sexual assault statutes. If you have sexual contact or sexual relations with somebody under a certain age, that's a strict liability crime. It doesn't matter whether you intended to touch that person or have sex with that person or do whatever it is.
Or intended to have sex with an underage person even?
Right. It doesn't matter. In fact,
ignorance is not acceptable.
Ignorance is not excuse. In fact, there's a case out of Madison where a woman, she was, I think, 15, got a fake ID, went into a bar, was drinking in a bar, got picked up, went back to this guy's place. They had sexual relations, and he gets charged with second degree sexual assault of a child. And I think it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin that said, no, it's a strict liability crime. And even though she was in a situation where you should have had some kind of comfort thinking that she was overage, you broke the law, because intent is not a necessary element of that.
What if she showed him his ID? Or he assumed, because she was in the bar drinking, still no?
Strict liability.
Wow.
Okay, if she's underage and you have sexual contact or sexual intercourse, you're going to jail, you're going to prison, and in some cases you're going to be a sex offender. As opposed to what we normally consider, let's say, just a straight a rape, a third-degree sexual assault, okay? Third-degree sexual assault requires, as long as she's not a minor, if it's two adults, third-degree sexual assault requires that you intentionally touch this person and that you know that this person didn't give you permission to have sex or have sexual contact with her. Under those circumstances, that's a different issue. But you have strict liability. And so that's the getting back to your original question about Clinton and Petraeus. I don't get it. Because you delete 33,000 emails, it seems to me that there's something.
She lied to Congress.
Oh, she lied to Congress, and I hope that Congress pursues a perjury charge against her because she clearly lied to Congress. And I think FBI Director Comey's statements made it clear that she lied to Congress. So there is a contempt of Congress, a perjury charge, you know, things like that.
They've referred it to the Justice Department, the Congress has.
Yeah, but
now Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, may not take it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what they need in a situation like this is, honestly, they need an independent prosecutor.
You haven't had one of those for a while.
No, we haven't. And, you know, I think the last one that we had that investigated a president was Starr, and that was she investigated Bubba.
And Monica Lewinsky. And the whole situation.
And Whitewater and the travel gate.
What a mess that was.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, let's go back to that. That's a good idea. Well, listen, I've got a ton of questions based on what you just said, but we are here to answer your questions, ladies and gentlemen. It is 10 minutes until 2 o'clock. He's got 10 minutes to get in. It's 634-WRJN, 634-9756. With your legal questions for Attorney John Cabranes, Attorneys Shana Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader are also in the studio. This is WRJN. All right, so much there that you said. Incredible. So we have situations where you preface your comments by saying you and I and the other attorneys here, we would be locked up right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so it really does speak to a two- or three-tiered legal system. And I had a ex-girlfriend whose brother was a foster parent. And he had what he thought was a 17-year-old girl that he was taking care of. And then when she turned 18, then they had intercourse. She wasn't 18. She was 16. But he didn't know it. So bottom line, this man of Hispanic origin in California is doing 25 years in prison because he could not afford an attorney. So now, obviously, we're not in a case where you're going to be hiring the type of attorney the Clintons would, for example, or Scooter Libby did, or whomever is in the public eye like that. But is there a way, is besides public defense issues, that the Cabranes Law Office can serve a community that really does need defender status?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, I won't dispute your underlying theory or thesis that there are two justice systems, and if you can afford a great legal defense, and you know, you seem to get different results depending on your status in the community. Okay. Now, Gary Becker, as we all know, is an exception to that rule because he was a high-profile individual.
I don't know the Gary Becker story.
He was mayor of Racine.
No, I'm new to Racine.
You are.
I just moved here 10 months ago, and I bet there are people listening that don't know the Gary Becker story.
Well, Gary Becker was the mayor of Racine who one day had some problem on his laptop. And called one of the individuals, IT people from the city of Racine, to come and help him with his laptop. And as the guy's working on the laptop, he comes across child porn. Okay, Gary Becker went to prison for that. You know, and you know, it's a high-profile guy. You know, usually. There are accommodations because they're not usually accommodations for child porn. But you know, OJ, I'll give you an example. OJ. OJ got acquitted in that criminal charge. Why did he get acquitted in the criminal charge? Because OJ was able to spend dollar for dollar what the government spent to try to put him in prison. He had a lot of money, and he spent huge sums of money on his legal defense team. He had almost unlimited resources.
Johnny Cochran did not come cheap, is what you're trying to say.
Shapiro, and none of these guys came cheap. And so, I mean, F. Lee Bailey, you know, yeah. I don't even want to think of what the legal bills were at the end of
What do you think it was, if you had to say?
Oh,
For OJ.
For OJ? I would, you know, this is now going back. This is 95. I was in the DA's office in Philadelphia in 95.
Wait, but you guys were having a good time with this.
Actually, I was getting into arguments with people because I thought he was going to be acquitted, And they were giving me a hard time because they told me I didn't know what I was talking about. And I turned out to be right.
Yes, you did.
You know, but
because if the glove don't fit, you must quit.
No, actually, you know what it was? And my my self-confidence was born of some, to a certain extent, ignorance.
We'll have to get you to explain that one sometime.
Well, I'll explain it now. What happens is, I mean, you know, it's the same problem that a lot of people have when they watch TV and they catch bits and pieces of what's going on in a trial, and then somebody gets acquitted, and you become outraged. Casey Anthony, for example. What was the guy who shot the Trayvon Martin in Florida? What was his name?
George Zimmerman.
Okay. People become outraged. Why? Because you've seen maybe 15 minutes a day of an eight-hour, day-long trial, and that happens over the course of, you know, 2-3 weeks, and you're paying attention to little snippets, but you're not seeing the big picture. Okay, and that's what I mean by my ignorance at the time, because you know you make these comments, and you're not seeing the big picture. But what I did see at the time, and what, you know, people can look for is, look, trials are not about facts. Because if trials were about facts, O.J. would have probably been executed. Although I think that they had taken the death penalty off the table because they didn't think that they could get a conviction. But he'd at very least be spending the rest of his life in prison. So it's not about facts. Trials are about credibility. Okay, whose story do you believe? And so what winds up happening is when you have prosecutors, like unfortunately the LA District Attorney's Office at the time, puts on this case and they make mistake after mistake after mistake. They put on witnesses that lie, and I'm talking about Mark Furman. Okay, I remember that they put on a DNA expert who testified that the chances that the match on the DNA was O.J. Simpson was, and I can't remember the exact number, but he gave a number. And then one of the DNA guys, I think it was Barry Scheck, got up and got him to admit that he had made a math error and that the numbers were actually much larger. Okay. So when you see those kind of mistakes being made, it shakes the jury's confidence in the state's case, because the state has an absolute burden to prove their case. And that's what a good criminal defense attorney does, is, you know, we make the police do their job, we make the prosecutors do their job. We try to create error in the process. And so by creating error in the process, it leaves the jury thinking, hey, what's going on here? But in this case, in the O.J. case, that was completely self-inflicted. I mean, I don't know what happened there, but it was just mistake after mistake after mistake. The only surprise was that they took as long as they did to acquit him, which I think was maybe a few hours.
I just sneezed.
Bless you.
I think I received your blessing. I think I'm allergic to O.J. Simpson.
I think a lot of people are.
I'll tell you, that just goes to show you that how important it is, Shanaz, for to have a vigorous defense, because even if, or I shouldn't even say if, when a person that's guilty gets off, it saves so many more innocent people. And that's the price we pay, isn't it?
Right, that is the price. It's... If you're not proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then you don't deserve to go to jail.
But is that the reason, though? I mean, obviously, by principle, that's true. But is it how important is, as a defense attorney, which you guys are, amongst other things, that you understand that even at the sake of letting somebody go or getting somebody exonerated who is guilty, you are literally setting up a defense mechanism for people that are innocent, so they get off on much larger numbers. How much does that motivate you?
It motivates me a lot.
Well, it's our job. I mean, you know, our job is to fight for the client, okay? And if the state can't prove the charges against our client, shouldn't be held accountable. in some cases. They bring these weak cases. And you know, the real tragedy, and I know that we're running out of time, but the real tragedy in all this is that there are attorneys who practice criminal defense law who just absolutely will not go to trial. And every case is a plea. And so what winds up happening is a lot of people who didn't do it wind up pleading to a charge because they're scared
right.
of what's going to happen. And that's the ultimate tragedy. And honestly, 20 years ago, I made the determination that I don't care what kind of a case I have. I have a good case. I have a bad case. Whatever type of case I have in terms of criminal cases, if the client wants a trial, we're going to go to trial.
Well, I'll tell you the fascinating thing amongst just your interesting people, but to talk about the O.J. Simpson case, for example, as we are here on the Cabranes Law Hour, it just speaks to your guys' expertise. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that the first call to the Cabranes Law Office at 638-0529 is free.
Right.
Your consultation is free. So maybe you could be in that category of people in our community getting a defense when you need one. O.J. Simpson got one. Hillary Clinton got one, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you guys for serving the community. I think you serve the community. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
God willing.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN.